As William said, we're starting on our study this evening looking at the topic of praise and worship. Now, as we're looking at this subject, it's obviously not praise and worship completely as a church when we meet together, as a church having a time of praise and worship. Yes, we will look at that as part of the study, but it's praise and worship as living our lives. How do we give God praise in everyday life and give him worship in everyday life? As we go through the studies tonight, as William said, we're looking at the concept of praise. How do we praise God? What does that look like? Why do we do it? But as we go through the other three sessions that we've got planned, we're looking at obviously the topic of worship. We're going to look at praise and worship as being a tool for spiritual warfare as well, and the benefit of coming together as a congregation for a time of praise and worship as well. So we'll be looking at those aspects as our series continues on. But what we'll see is praise and worship is what we as believers should be doing. It's part of our identity as being believers that we should be constantly praising God and giving God worship. What we need to kind of think of though, praising God, worshipping God, it's not just an emotional experience. Yes, it can produce strong emotions within us, but in a time of praise and a time of worship before God, when he does something in our lives and we are showing that back to him, it can bring us encouragement and refreshment, and we can feel that connection with God. So we do have that kind of emotional side of things. But what we'll see is that's not the end goal. That's not what praise and worship is all about. It's not about feelings, although those do come into things. A time of praise and worship can lead us into a place where we can come into a time of conviction, a time of repentance, a time of spiritual awakening in our lives. We might get a word from the Lord, or there might be a kind of a confirmation of something in our life during a time of praise and worship, and that is all good. But what we'll see is, again, there's wider aspects to the process and the activity of praise and worship as well. There can be times where maybe our church has a powerful, powerful time of singing in church, and it's great and the singing's fantastic. But what we need to be careful of in every church and every time believers come together is looking at God and having God as the centre. It's good to be professional. It's good to be excellent musicians. I wish I was one. Unfortunately, I'm not. It's good to have all these things honed and professional. But the focus always needs to have God on the centre as well. And when worship leaders come to lead, then they're also leading us into that kind of spiritual atmosphere as well. So the correct atmosphere, having God at the centre and the correct picking of songs as well, really helps that. So there's many, many benefits to a time in praise and worship for us. But I'd like to just open up to Psalm 100 just now. So Psalm 100. So there's many benefits to praising God and worshipping God. But as we come to Psalm 100, Psalm 100 from verse 2 to 4 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." So we see when we do come before the Lord, we've got to come with praise and thanksgiving to him. We've to bless his name as we come together as a group of believers here. Thanksgiving and praise, recognising that God, he is the one over all things. He's the one that's called us and made us and redeemed us. And as we come to that time of praise and worship, we're remembering who God is, what he's done for us, and that should bring us into this time of gladness and thanksgiving and praising God. We're also told from David in Psalm 22, verse 3, that God inhabits the praises of his children. So as we praise God, there's a special atmosphere that comes, that he inhabits that time of praise, that we can feel that stronger connection with him. Our aim as believers is to glorify God, to enjoy that time of worship, to enjoy that time of his presence in a tangible, deeper way. But it's good that we can maybe come with these studies and think of the concept of praise and think of the concept as worship and try to understand a bit of a distinction between the two of them. when we think of worshipping God, we might get the idea of, you know, singing to God, hands held high, and lifting the hands up to God. That's maybe a thought when we think of worship that we do. But as we actually go into it, we can see that's actually praising God. You know, hands lifted high and before God, you can actually apply that to the aspect of praise. And throughout the Bible, there's many, many commands to praise the Lord. If we think about worship, if you're worshipping God, you can maybe think of the posture as being down on your knees, kind of prostrate before God. It's a time of deep reflection, contemplation, maybe that time of repentance and conviction that can come on our lives. So praising the Lord doesn't mean just those times in church when we're singing. We do our set list on a Sunday. Is that the only time we praise God? Well, obviously, it shouldn't be. Yes, we praise God in those times. There's other times throughout our daily walk with God we should be praising Him. And we'll look at that as we go through the rest of our study. The Psalms, there's so many excellent Psalms that talk about praising God. When we look at the book of Psalms, it is the book of praise that in the Hebrew it translates as. So if we ever need the inspiration to praise God, we just need to open up to the Psalms. Specifically, the kind of latter Psalms are excellent ones that we can refer to and just get built up in their faith and get that kind of unction in our spirit to praise God as we read them. We see in Psalm 148, for example. I'm not going to read it out just now, but Psalm 148, it's, you know, praise God in the high heavens. The rulers are to praise God, the old men, the young men, the animals, the seas, everything has to praise God. And we, the people that are redeemed by God, we should want to do that before Him. That should be something that we desire to do before Him. So everything that God has made is called to praise Him. And we'll unpack that a wee bit more. So let's look first of all at some different actions that we can employ to praise God. So ways to praise Him. An easy one, we've just done it. A time of praise is a time of singing. And we've got Psalm 47, verse 6, which says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to your King, sing praises. So it's quite a kind of straightforward verse that and tells us exactly what we've got to do. But maybe why? Isaiah 12, verse 5 says, sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. He is known in all the earth. The excellence of God is a thing that should inspire us to sing to Him. Another way we can praise God is through shouting. Now, I'm not going to start shouting just now. You don't need to turn your hearing aid off. You're quite okay. We've got Isaiah 12, verse 6, which says, cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. So cry out and shout. There's an appropriate time to shout to God. In Psalm 98, verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Now, I'm not telling you to come in next Sunday morning and start shouting your head off. I'm sure you'll maybe get pulled to the side and get a wee word in your ear. But at certain times, there is an appropriate place to be loud and exuberant in your time of praise. One thing we see a lot is clapping. Heard a bit of clapping here tonight as well. We can praise God by clapping. Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. So we can use our voice, we can use our hands, we can employ all our faculties to give God praise. That would maybe enter the room if I had to start doing it. We can dance as part of our praise to God as well. And we've got Psalm 150, verse 4. So Psalm 150, verse 4 says, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. And we see a good example of what can happen in that environment in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 6:14 says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now again, if you want to dance before the Lord with all your might in a church service, I think you'd get a wee bit of an audience going on. So when we're thinking of these things, we also need to employ a bit of common sense as well. A time of praise and worship together as a congregation, as a group of believers, the focus, as we say, needs to have the Lord in the centre. That we shouldn't be doing things that are distracting to other people in our praise and worship of God. But certainly, if you're in your house and you feel that moment come on you, great, have a wee song and a dance to yourself. Or in the church, if you want to have a wee jig, fine, but as long as it's not a major distracting thing for other people. Instruments. We can praise God with musical instruments as well. And we've got 1 Chronicles 13, verse 8. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines and cymbals, and with trumpets. So we can employ all different ranges of musical instruments to give God praise. And we get Psalm 150, verse 3 to 5. Praise him with the sound of trumpet, praise him with the lute and harp, praise him with timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise him with loud cymbals, praising with clashing cymbals. So again, we get the idea there that it could maybe be quite loud. And again, there's times for loudness and praise and using all these instruments to praise God. But then there's other times of a kind of quiet, mellow reflectiveness in a time of praise and worship. And that's where we see the kind of difference between praise and worship. We've got to the time of both. And we've got Acts 10, verse 46. We can praise God in tongues as well. In Acts 10, 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So a time of praise is a time of magnifying God and who God is. But again, we need to do things in a decent and proper order within our established services as well. So there's lots of actions that we can employ in our time of praise. But let's kind of unpack, why should we praise God? As we're sitting here, we're thinking, well, because he's God, obviously, we're believers, we should praise him. But let's just give some definite reasons this evening. The reasons are countless, but we've got a few here. First of all, God deserves to be praised. He is worthy to receive our praise. And we get Psalm 145, verse 3, which says, God is the great and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. So as we think about who God is, his attributes, his holiness, all the different things that we think of God in our head, our immediate reaction should be praise. We want to praise God for who he is in himself. In Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So all things in this earth, all things in creation are by God. So we just recognise who he is and praise him for it. We also see praise as beneficial to us as believers. Why praise God? Because we are going to be benefited from it as well. Psalm 135, verse 3 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for that is pleasant. Now, as we go through our daily lives, Monday to Sunday, there's a lot of drudgery that comes in there. Do you want a bit of pleasantness in your day? Praise God. It brings the pleasantness in as we remember who God is, what he's done, how he cares for us. As we read through the Psalms and get all the kind of encouragements there, it's a time of pleasantness for our bodies and our souls. So it's good for us. And as we do it, as we praise God, the other thing is that it stirs up our faith. As we praise God, our faith is stirred up as well. Because we're remembering the God who we serve. Remembering the power of the God who we serve. That God can move on our behalf as well. We have an almighty God, and that almighty God is always on our side in any battle that we face. Psalm 8, verse 2 says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. So when we're going through a difficult time, hardships in our life, we're feeling as if we're in that battle. Praise is a tool that we need to employ. And we'll really unpack that one night if we look at praise as being a tool for spiritual warfare. We'll look at the many examples we've got in the Bible where praise and worship comes through as a tool that's been employed and actually breaks those bonds and breaks the enemy. And we mentioned this verse, Psalm 22, verse 3, which says that, but thou art holy, you inhabit the praises of Israel. And we can imply that to ourselves as the church as well. When we praise God, he inhabits that time of praise. As we look to God, we want to have that time of blessing with God, that kind of interaction with God in a time of praise before him. As we praise God, we get ourselves in the correct place where we can connect with him. In a time of praise and worship, God's no closer to us than he's ever been. He's just at the same place, he's always by our side. But when we praise God, we take the step forward to Him, that we come into that close union with Him. Whereas a lot of times during the day we're distracted, our thoughts aren't on God, and we drift away. But in a time of praise, if we remember who God is and we consider all these things, we get closer to Him, and we come into that place where we're inhabiting the same space. We feel that closer connection with Him, which is obviously good for our lives. So as we consider the actions of praise, some of the reasons why we would praise God, we're going to look at just a few words of Hebrew that we can see in the Old Testament for the word praise, and some of the different ideas and concepts which can come to us and give us a bit more inspiration as we come to our time of praise and worship. I can't speak Hebrew, so I might not say the words properly, but we'll get the gist of what we mean. The first one I want to look at is the word yada. And we'd actually looked at this word a wee while back with the kids, maybe a good couple of years back, when kids were bringing their instruments into the church. So yada, and we see that word used in Psalm 9:11 that's up on the screen here, but also in Psalm 107 verse 8. In Psalm 107 verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." So yada, the meaning of it is to praise God, to give thanks or confess, and it speaks of using your hands, stretching your hands out towards God or up towards God, basically just lifting up before God. And we can see a bit of the explanation up on the board here. So celebration is kind of included within the kind of description of this word as well. It's an action of reverence, using extended hands before God. So a reverence, extended hands, and celebration. And we're expressing gratitude, thankfulness, surrender, and celebration to God. A second word which we can look at and see many times is the word zamar, which is translated as praise throughout the Bible as well. We see it in Psalm 9:11, and we also see it in Psalm 33, verse 2, which says, "Praise the Lord with the harp, make melody to Him with a stringed instrument of 10 strings. So zamar means to sing and to praise God while striking music with the fingers. So we're talking about musical instruments mainly with this word here. So it's to play an instrument and accompany it with some singing as well. So this action is to lift up our voice before God. The first one, yadar, we're lifting our hands before God. With zamar, we're lifting our voice to God. Lifting our voice to Him using music and accompaniment with instruments. So when we play music at church, it's not because we just want to sing nice songs. It's not because we want to have a wee sing-song together. It's a time of spiritual praise, a time of spiritual worship before God. So in our church services, it's zamar that we are doing. We're not just singing. It's a spiritual word here that we are actually acting out. And through that, through the praise and through the worship, we're facilitating that atmosphere that we can connect with God in a deeper level as we step closer to Him. The third word is halal. Now, it's no meat. It's not halal meat we're talking about here. This word comes from the root word hallelujah. Can see why? Just shortened down. And it means to praise, to shine forth, to glory, to boast. And then the screen here, it says, even to the point of appearing foolish at times. If you think about David, as he was dancing with all his might, people would look at David and think, "What are you doing, you nutter? You look stupid." But sometimes there's that word called joy. We maybe don't feel it very often, but as we praise and worship God and we get built up in God, if we feel that joy, we might express ourselves in ways that somebody could look at us and think, "What are they doing?" But halal is that time of boasting in God, glorying in God, and having that joy burst out of us. And we see it in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19. It says, "Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high." And we see it's an intense action of celebration and a shout of joy. So it's an intensity in our praise. second last one we're going to look at is this word here. I keep on wanting to say Delilah.
Tahila.
Tahila. It's not Delilah. I'm not going to burst into a Tom Jones song. Tahila. And this one here is basically a song or a hymn of praise, when we are singing to God. And that's the word that's used in Psalm 100, verse 4. We sang the song this morning, we read the scripture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We're entering into his courts with Tahila, with this spiritual song, with these hymns or spiritual songs that we are singing to him, when we are lifting our voice up to God. It's this word that we're using here. So it's singing to instruct other people, singing to encourage ourselves, remembering God's deeds and his power, and expressing our heart to him through song. And lastly, we've got this one, Shabak, which means to shout praise. It's addressing God in a loud tone or a shout. And we see it in Psalm 117, verse 1, which says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you peoples. So praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you peoples, laud loud. So it's when we express God with, express ourselves to God with a loudness. And we're expressing confidence in God's ability when we're doing that. It's a kind of shout of declaration, a shout of assurance that we're giving to God. So again, if you think of our normal church services, maybe our Sunday mornings, if somebody stands up and starts shouting, it's maybe not the best thing to do. Again, there's times and there's places for all of these things to come into play. But as we look at these different five words here, we see the kind of mix of having confidence in God's word and be able to shout forth our praise, lifting their hands up to God, lifting their voices up, expressing ourselves through music, and boasting about God and what he's done. We see that through these five words here. So we can use our physical being, we can use our voices, we can use the talents that God has given us with music. Whatever we can employ to praise God is what we should be doing. And it could be loud at certain points, or it might be quiet. It depends on the setting and what God is leading us to do. Because we think these things, hands lifted high or for bowed down low, there has to be an openness in a time of praise as well. And I know I'm not good at that. So don't look at me as being your shining example. If it's hands in the pockets of the typical man, crossed arms, my normal stance is this, one arm down holding on to my elbow. I know that personally I need to take on board a lot of these things here, be more expressionful in a time of praise. But what stops us? I look at you and I think, oh, people think of me if I start shitting my hands up, but you just don't really care, do you? No. A lot of times we'll look about and we think, oh, it's our own pride, it's our own insecurities, but what we should be doing is giving all that to God. If God leads us to raise our hands, then raise your hands. If God leads us to sit down and bow our heads, that's what we should be doing. We should be focusing on God and God alone and not anyone else in the room. And that's something I need to take on board and do something with. And perhaps, I don't know, maybe you do need to as well. But what does God say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. As we enter in fully into our time of praise, then if we have joy, we get strength. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We should have a freedom as we express ourselves in a time of singing or praise before God as well. But does it cost us anything to do that? Does it? Praise in itself doesn't cost us anything because we just need to express ourselves. We just need to do it. We just need to get over ourselves and enter into a time of praise and worship fully before God. Psalm 18 verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That's what we need to do. Call upon God in these times, whether it's in the house or in church. Call upon God because he is worthy to be praised. It should be joyful. It should be a time of freedom. It should be a time where we just express to God what we're feeling and can express to him our thankfulness as well. But it shouldn't be a fair weather activity, which it often can be in our lives when we're feeling a bit down in the dumps or we've maybe got a major situation going on in our life and we feel I don't know how to praise you, God, or I don't feel like doing it. And sometimes we've all got those moments as well. And that's where the cost does come in, that we need to make a sacrifice to God. God, I don't feel like it, but I need to praise you because I know who you are and what you can do. Our sacrifice is, in the down times, praising God. It becomes our sacrifice to Him. We should praise God in all circumstances. We should have our hands raised, our mouths opened, and our heads lifted high to God, because does God change? No. It's us that change at times, that we feel down, but God is always there. His attributes never change. But as you know, we can live in quite a negative world, can't we? Yeah, the cup's half empty. We can be pessimistic. We can be a bit dour-faced. We can expect failure at every turn in our lives. But we need to make the defined effort to be positive before God and to praise God no matter what's going on in our lives. And that will counteract the pessimism that we can feel in our lives. That as we praise God, the negativity can get smashed down, and we can enter into that time of freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. As we enter into that space, then we can find the strength and the joy and the freedom in Jesus. If we think about it, not that I'm wishing this to happen, if any one of you is in the room to pass out and cowp on the floor just now, once the panic is over, what's the first action we do with that person? Okay, yeah. Next thing, practical thing.
CPR.
CPR. We'll go over the body. Is there any movement? Are they breathing? Check for a pulse. 4999. Janice, help us. So check for a pulse. We'll go with that one there. We can think of our praise as being our spiritual pulse. How strong our praise is in our lives will show us how strong our walk is with God as well. How strong and how healthy we are in our spiritual walk. How are we functioning in our walk with God is how strong that pulse is. If we've got breath in our body, we should be doing what with it? As the Psalms say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So when we have those moments where we count down, there's things going on, we think, I don't know what's going on here, and we feel totally low. While there's breath in our body, we should be praising God that He can break the negativity and He can turn our circumstances around. As we go through life, good times and bad, that's where we need to stay. Oh, going the wrong way. We've got the verse in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul didn't say that once, he said it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, because we need the reminder. In the down times, in the difficult times, rejoice in God. And we need to keep that in our mind. Even if we don't feel like it, that's our sacrifice. We rejoice before God. We give Him the praise that's due His name. We might not understand what's going on, but we still rejoice and we just give Him praise there. We've got a wee picture here. We've got a wee pot and a fire. If we think about the analogy of the potter in the Bible, we get so many times in the Bible where we get that analogy of the potter and that we are the clay vessels. Think of the potter, he's moulded and he's shaped his vessel, his clay, and he puts it in the furnace to cook it, to temper it. To temper it in the fire. The potter says, in the heat of the flame, at some point, the pottery is going to make a sound. It's going to be a hiss, a kind of special sound that as soon as that sound gets emitted in that fire, the potter knows, that's my clay ready. The clay is ready to come out. In the heat of the furnace, the potter's listening for a sound. The clay will emit that sound just at the right time. What we need to do is to learn to sing in the fire. Just as the pot sings when it's ready to come out, we need to sing in that fiery place as well. Think about the book of Daniel. Which three people did we have in the fiery furnace? We had Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. But they had faith in that furnace. Their faith seen them through. Their faith, and they had that fourth person in the fire with them. We are the same. We are going through a difficult time in a fiery furnace. We need to stick together, praise God, sing to God, and know that we've got a fourth person by our side, that Jesus is there with us too. That we need to be ready to sing in the fire. We might not understand what's going on in their lives. It might be fiery circumstances, but we still praise God. And through that time of praise, we can gain power and we can gain strength knowing that God is with us. Doing that will help us to steer forward in the right direction. It will keep our path going forward with God. It will stop us becoming pessimistic and feeling defeated. So we can choose to praise God and give God thanks and rejoice in Him. If we don't, then we run the risk of being downtrodden. And once we feel downtrodden, it's quite hard to get ourselves raised back up again. We've got to do that through prayer and looking to God and praising God. So we face a lot of things in life, some of us a lot more than others. Looking out into the room, I can think of some things going on in some of your guys' lives that I've got no idea about. And you've been through difficult times, and you're still going through difficult times. But what we see is, we have to praise God, rejoice in the Lord always. And the world expects you to deal with your circumstances in a certain way, but God expects you to do it in a totally different way as well. John 14:1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me." No matter what we're going through, we just need to come back to who God is and what He can do and the power that He has. To praise God in the good times and to praise Him in the bad times as well. And if we do that, it gets our focus where it needs to be. Our focus needs to remain on the Lord in the dark times as well. And as we realise how huge our God is, then we can see and we can gain a bit of perspective. A problem on a Monday morning might be a way up here, but as we look to God and see how huge He is and the power He has, it might come down a couple of pegs and we can put ourselves and our circumstances into perspective. We've already said, we've kind of mentioned Psalm 22 verse 3 that says, "You, O Lord, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." So in a similar way, when we praise God, we enthrone Him as well. When we praise God, we recognise who He is. And kind of like we tangibly in our mind and our spirit provide a seat for God, we enthrone Him. He can come and dwell and sit and remain and interact with us because we're allowing Him to sit beside us. So we're praising God, knowing who He is, inviting Him into our circumstances, into our mind and our hearts and our soul and our spirits, and we're saying, "Lord, sit here, I'm praising You, I want You right here beside me in all the things that I'm going through in my life." We enthrone Him through our time of praise. So that's how important it can be. But we need to praise Him and we need to offer that praise as a sacrifice, as I said, even when we don't feel like doing it. And they will come and they will sit and they'll interact and indwell with us in a special way if we enter into that time with Him. But we want to learn that habit now, when things maybe are going okay. And then when the dark times go whap, we're in that habit of praising God and spending time with Him and enthroning God in our lives as well. Whereas if we're totally just walking our daily Christian walks and we're not giving God much time, we're not giving Him the praise that's due to His name, we're not in the habit. And then when we get hit with something difficult, we're at a loss. We've not got that inbuilt habit to us. And we can be sideswept by it and we don't know how to get ourselves back up again. So we need to choose to praise God at all times. Remove our focus from our problems and put it in God and His promises. So it's not our problems we focus on, it's God's promise. And declaring that God is bigger than any problem that we might have in our lives. Just want you to open up to Psalm 150 quickly. So Psalm 150, the very last psalm in our book of Psalms. And in this psalm, it uses the Hebrew word halal, which is to boast, to shine forth the glory in God. So it says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpets, praise Him with lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So in this psalm we get so much instruction that we read it and we actually just pass by it. We're told in verse 1 where we have to praise God. It says, praise him in the mighty firmament. Praise him in the sanctuary. So the heavens down to our room here, everywhere we've got to praise God. Praise him all the time. Not just in the sanctuary, not just the heavens, everywhere. The whole of creation needs to praise God. It's proper to praise him anywhere. And the psalms talk about praising God in their beds or in our work. No matter where, that's what we've got to do. Why do we praise God? Verse 2 says, because his mighty acts and his excellent greatness. Those two things, as we read the Bible, we see the great acts that God has put forth. Salvation, the provision of his Son being number one. But all the mighty things that God has done, that should inspire us to praise him and his excellent greatness. How do we praise God? We see that in verse 3 to 5. With instruments, with dancing, with all of our being. We've got to throw our whole self into the praise of God. There are many ways to praise God, as we've looked at, but the result should be that we are looking at who God is, what he's done, and it's an expression that we have towards him in that time of praise. So I want to take note of the general feeling of that psalm there. As we come to sing and offer God praise and worship and all these things, it's not the somber, come into his gates, you know, it's not the downcast, sober, boring song that we're giving to God. And sometimes you might turn on the telly and it's maybe one of the songs of praise programmes and you're looking at it and thinking, I'm glad I'm not there because that doesn't look very joyful at all. But I'm sure sometimes even in our church services they might be standing there singing the songs, but there's no feeling, there's no oomph, there's no joy to it. This psalm here, you can see it's a celebration, it's the everything coming together, the loud, joyful voices and the joyful hitting of the tambourines and the instruments. Coming to God in praise should be a joyful thing. We gather together to praise his name. We don't come to God's funeral. We come to celebrate his life and his life in us in the here and now as well. That is the God that we serve. And these are some of the ways that we can praise God's name as well. As I said, we need to be careful of being feeling driven. Sometimes we don't feel like praising God, we need to do it. And other times we're full of joy and we can't help but do it. Praise is something that we should do if we feel it or if we don't feel it. God is God, he doesn't change, he is worthy of all praise. It's an act of obedience first and foremost in our lives. Often, if we're not feeling like it and we enter into the spirit of things, the feelings will follow. So we need to focus on those things. Hebrews 13:15 says, let us, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips. There's many things that come out this throughout a typical day. Make sure the praise of God is one of them, and that is a sacrifice that we offer to him. So the focus must always be on God, but as 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. So in our own personal space in our houses, we can get loudly and do whatever we want as we praise God. But as we come together as a body, there's got to be a decency and an order. You might get led in a certain direction, but we've got to be aware of the situation and the setting which we are in as well. So this coming week, let's maybe think about how we praise God and maybe try to do it more if we need to. Maybe some of you are quite good at that, a lot better than me, I'm sure. But we might come to God by yada, expressing with our hands. We might come to him by halal, by boasting and that confidence in God. To Leela, by the song, we might have a song going through our heads all the time, be singing our songs in the car and our work, having that constantly going through our minds. Or Zamar, if God has gifted us and we can strum our guitar or hit our gajon or whatever it might be, we might praise God with an instrument. But let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God has appointed us to praise Him. He's asked us to do that. We have to express the praise to Him. It's a duty for us, but it should also be a delight as well. As the end of Psalm, the book of Psalms finishes in 150, the very last words of Psalm 150, the last bit of the book of Psalms is, praise the Lord. And I think that is quite telling. No matter what we do, the last words should be, praise the Lord in our lives. So I'm going to end on Psalm 106, verse 2, which says, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? Let us be the ones that know it isn't possible to utter all the praises of God, but will we be the ones that give it a try? Throughout every day of our lives, we try to praise God more and more. Let's close in a word of prayer.